All right, diving in again, folks. Today, South Korea, lifelong learning, big topic, especially with, their aging population. We went deep. Government websites, articles, blog posts, even some academic papers, even.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty deeply ingrained in their
It's
society.
totally. We saw that right away, like with their online learning platforms. It's like for every age you can think of.
Yeah, like it's not just something they thought of later. It's really part of how they think about their society and their economy.
Like ER Read for younger kids. Then there's KMOC for adults. It's like wild.
And the government's paying for it all, like ERE and KOC. It shows they really want everyone to be able to learn.
But how does it actually work? Like, what kind of courses do they have, and how do people actually get to them?
So, EOI is mostly school stuff for like elementary and middle school. KLY is it's a lot more like university stuff or like skills for your job. Oh, most of it's free.
Wow, free. That's amazing. But there's also these voucher programs. Jonaga and
Yeah, lifelong education voucher and tomorrow learning card if you're not speaking Korean. It makes continuing education and training less expensive so people can afford it.
the lifelong education voucher is for people with low incomes or if they don't have jobs, so they can get money to take courses. So
Exactly.
it's not just that the stuff's out there, it's that they're making it possible for people to actually do it. Really cool.
And the Tomorrow Learning Card is for people who already have jobs, but they want to, learn new stuff or improve their skills, and they can use those cards to pay for all sorts of courses, so they can, keep up with what's happening in their field.
That's a pretty big investment in their workforce. Do we know how it's working out so far?
So they're still studying the long-term effects. But it looks like more adults are taking classes and they're learning new stuff, which helps them get better jobs.
That's great to hear. But all this learning and reskilling, what is it all for? Why are they so focused on lifelong learning?
But you got to remember that Korea's population is getting older really fast. By 2025, something like 80% of the population will be over 25, and that changes a lot, like their workforce and their whole economy.
80%. Wow. So are they investing in all this learning so their older people can like stay involved and active in the workforce?
Yeah, exactly. People are living longer, which means they need to keep learning longer too. It's really about giving people what they need to succeed, the skills and knowledge. And it doesn't matter how old they are.
And it's not just about work, right? I mean, it's about making sure older people can, be a part of society,
Yeah.
not feel left out.
Absolutely. Learning keeps people connected. It helps them feel like they belong, and it helps with the loneliness that older people sometimes feel.
Yeah, I see that. It seems like they're really thinking ahead, building a system that supports people for their whole lives. But there was this one thing we found that really caught my eye, this idea of an AI YouTube university.
Ah, yes. This idea is pretty futuristic.
Yeah.
So basically, YouTube becomes, this massive school, but it's all personalized, powered by AI.
So YouTube is like recommending courses to you based on, your interests and what you want to learn. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Imagine like AI tutors giving you feedback. The AI can like change how fast you learn and how hard the stuff is based on how you're doing. Plus, you've got tons of videos curated and organized by AI.
That's almost too good to be true. But there must be some downsides, right? I mean, there's gotta be.
Right. Like, what if the AI is biased? If the data it learns from is biased, then the whole system could be unfair and some people might not get the same chances.
That's a really important point. How do we make sure AI is fair in education?
That's what researchers and people making policy are trying to figure out. Maybe we can create AI that is transparent so we can see how it works. And, if it's biased, we can fix it.
Right. So it's not just about having the technology, it's about making sure it's used the right way.
Exactly. And everyone needs to work together on this. Teachers, tech people, the government, and regular people. So AI is actually helping education and everyone benefits.
It seems like Korea is leading the way in and figuring out how to use these technologies for learning. But online stuff and AI are cool. But we also want to talk about some of the real problems Korea is facing, like their aging population. And we noticed how they handle elderly care. It's like totally different from, say, the US.
Yeah. In Korea, nursing homes and healthcare are often like way cheaper than in the US, and some people say they're even better quality.
Why is that? I mean, what makes them so different?
Well, one big thing is that In Korea, it's really important to take care of your parents. It's just part of their culture. And families often live together, or at least close by. So it's not just about government programs, it's about how their whole society is set up to support older people.
So it's like their culture and their family values make a big difference in how they take care of their older folks.
Exactly. And that's led to a pretty good system that combines family help with community resources and some government assistance. It all works together.
That's really interesting. It shows how like cultural values really shape how a country deals with an aging population. But even with all that family support, Korea's still facing challenges, right?
Oh, yeah. And one of the biggest is what's happening in the rural areas. The population there is shrinking fast. In fact, 89 regions are officially labeled as population decline regions.
89 regions. Wow, that's pretty serious. What's going on in these rural areas, and how's it connected to the aging population?
Basically, as young people move to cities for jobs and, education, the rural areas are left with fewer and fewer people, and most of them are older. And that causes a bunch of problems, like the economy gets weaker, services like healthcare and education get worse, and the people who stay there can feel pretty isolated.
So it's kind of like a downward spiral. Young people leave for better opportunities, and that just makes the situation in rural areas even worse.
Exactly. And that decline in rural areas is a big deal for Korea. It affects their entire economy and society.
So how are they dealing with this? Can lifelong learning help bring these rural communities back to life?
That's the big question. And it's a perfect lead into the next part of our deep dive. We'll see how they're using education and training to try to attract new people to rural areas, create new jobs, and build a stronger sense of community.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for sure. It impacts everything, their economy, taxes, even basic stuff like schools and healthcare. It's like, how do you turn that around? It feels kind of hopeless almost.
Yeah.
But we did see some stuff about how they're using lifelong learning programs to like revitalize these rural areas.
Yeah, they're trying some new things for sure. They're putting money into education and job training, specifically to attract new people, create jobs, that kind of thing, and to make it feel more like a community again.
Can you give us some examples of what they're actually doing, like specific programs?
So one thing they're doing is setting up these lifelong learning centers in rural areas. They offer all sorts of classes and workshops geared towards what the people in those communities actually need.
So it's not just like normal school stuff, it's more about practical skills that people can use in their everyday lives and in the local economy.
Right. Like they might have courses on sustainable farming or like rural tourism or digital marketing for small businesses, even stuff like traditional crafts or, how to preserve their cultural heritage.
It seems like they're trying to like approach it from all angles, not just focusing on bringing in new people, but also helping the people who are already there to thrive.
Yeah, it's about giving them a sense of ownership,
Yeah.
like they can adapt and be successful even with all these changes happening.
Yeah, I see that. These efforts to revitalize rural areas are really impressive. But let's talk about something else we found. The number of foreign workers in Korea, it's pretty significant.
Right. It's another piece of the puzzle, you could say. Their population is shrinking and getting older, so they need people to fill those jobs, especially the jobs that Koreans don't want to do anymore.
We read about these what they call 3D jobs, dirty, dangerous, and difficult. What kinds of jobs are we talking about here?
Basically, jobs that involve a lot of physical labor or kind of risky, things that Koreans aren't really interested in doing these days, like construction, manufacturing, agriculture, a lot of foreign workers in those sectors.
It makes you think about the impact, on society and the economy, having all these foreign workers.
Definitely. I mean, on the one hand, they're really important to the economy. They fill those essential jobs and help the economy grow. But then there's the social side of things. How do they fit in? Do they feel welcome? Are they treated fairly? It's complicated.
It's like they're walking a tightrope. They need these workers, but they also need to make sure they're integrated into society and, treated well.
Yeah, for sure. It's about finding that balance, attracting foreign workers, but also taking care of them, making them feel like they're part of the community, and, making sure they're treated fairly.
And this whole thing with foreign workers, it also connects back to lifelong learning, doesn't it?
Oh, how so?
Well, if they're going to have all these foreign workers, they need to provide language training, help them understand the culture, and even like job training to help them succeed in the Korean workplace.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Investing in these workers isn't just, you know, the right thing to do. It also makes economic sense. It can make them more productive, and that helps everyone.
Speaking of interesting things we found, there's this phenomenon called chorea sickness. Have you heard of this one?
Chorea sickness, yeah. It's kind of strange, actually. So some foreign workers, after they go back home, they start to miss Korea. Like they miss the life there, the work, even the people they met.
Like reverse culture shock almost?
Yeah, something like that. It's interesting because it kind of challenges how we think about foreign workers. It seems like a lot of them really like Korea, and they find it a pretty good place to live and work.
So even with all the challenges we've talked about, this chorea sickness thing suggests that maybe they're doing something right, creating a place that people are drawn to, even people from other countries.
Yeah. Maybe it says something about the quality of life there. It's safe, it's efficient. And maybe there's a sense of opportunity that you don't find everywhere.
So it's not all doom and gloom. Even with the aging population and all that, there are some really positive things happening in Korea.
Definitely. And I think there are lessons here for other countries that are facing similar challenges, you know, with demographics and economic changes and all that.
It's a good reminder that no country is perfect, but we can all learn from each other, see what's working, what's not working, and, try to figure things out together.
Absolutely. That's what makes these deep dives so interesting. We get to learn from each other's experiences.
All right, so we've talked about the problems in rural areas and the influx of foreign workers. Now let's circle back to that AI YouTube university thing. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get back to that. It's such a fascinating idea. So much potential, but also, you know, some things to be careful about.
Yeah, like personalized learning,
Yeah.
tailored to each person's needs and interests. That's super cool. But how do we make sure it's fair and that it's used ethically?
That's the big question, right? One thing is, we got to watch out for bias in the algorithms, you know, the things that power these AI systems. If the data is biased, the whole system could be unfair. And some people might get left behind.
So again, it's not just about the technology itself. It's about how it's developed and who it's designed for.
Exactly. It has to be accessible to everyone, no matter who they are, how much money they have, or, you know, how they learn best.
It makes me think about the digital divide. What about people who can't afford expensive computers or don't have good internet access?
That's a really important point. We have to make sure everyone has the same opportunities. That might mean investing in internet infrastructure, making sure everyone has access to affordable devices, and maybe even offering training programs to help people learn how to use all this technology.
Sounds like a huge challenge.
It is, but we can't ignore it. If we want everyone to benefit from these advancements in education, we have to bridge that digital divide. Otherwise, it'll just make things even more unequal.
So while Korea is exploring all this cool stuff with AI and lifelong learning, they need to be careful, make sure it's fair and accessible for everyone, and that it benefits all learners.
I totally agree. It's all about finding that balance, using technology to create a better education system, one that's fair and helps everyone reach their potential.
We've covered a lot today: rural decline, foreign workers, AI, YouTube, university. But I think it's important to step back and ask, what can other countries learn from all of this? What's the big takeaway from Korea's experience?
That's a great question. And I think there are a few things other countries can take away from this. First of all, Korea shows us that you have to be proactive and you have to think about lifelong learning in a holistic way. It's not just about providing education, it's about making it a part of everything, making sure it's accessible to people of all ages and backgrounds.
They seem to be really forward-thinking. They understand that investing in people is like the most important thing, especially in a world that's changing so fast.
Yeah, they get it. And they're not just talking about it, they're actually doing it. With programs like those vouchers we talked about and those online platforms, they're putting their money where their mouth is.
These programs show that they're serious about giving people the tools they need to succeed, especially as jobs change and new skills are needed.
Exactly. And it's not just about keeping up with the latest trends. It's about being able to adapt and thrive in any situation, no matter what the future throws at you.
So even though Korea is dealing with its own unique set of challenges, their approach to lifelong learning has a lot to teach us. Other countries can learn from them and adapt those lessons to their own situations.
Absolutely. Korea is like a case study in how to use lifelong learning to overcome challenges, to encourage innovation, and to build a stronger society that can handle whatever comes next.
It reminds us that investing in education isn't just good for individuals, it's good for everyone. It makes countries more competitive and helps society as a whole.
And in a world that's becoming more and more complex and interconnected, countries that prioritize lifelong learning are going to be the ones that succeed. They'll be the ones that can adapt and thrive in the long run.
Okay, so we've talked about what other countries can learn from Korea, but what about the other way around? What can Korea learn from other countries?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I mean, Korea's done a lot of great things, but there's always room for improvement, right?
Like with that AI YouTube university thing, we talked about the potential downsides like bias and making sure it's accessible to everyone. Maybe Korea can look at what other countries are doing with AI and education and learn from their mistakes.
Right. Sharing knowledge and working together is so important, especially with these new technologies. We can all learn from each other's successes and failures.
And it's not just about AI. Korea could also look at other countries that have good policies for attracting foreign workers, for example, or policies that promote a better work-life balance, or that create a more inclusive society for older adults.
Exactly. There's always something new to learn. By studying what other countries are doing, Korea can keep improving its own system and make it even better, even more adaptable and resilient.
It's a good reminder that learning is a lifelong journey, not just for individuals, but for whole societies.
And having a global perspective is so important. Being willing to learn from others and share our own experiences, that's how we create a world where everyone can benefit from lifelong learning and reach their full potential.
It makes you think, right? Like, what about other developed countries? The ones that maybe aren't as focused on this whole lifelong learning thing? Are they going to be ready for these changes?
It's a good point. Korea is kind of like a glimpse into the future. A lot of countries are going to be dealing with aging populations and the changes in the workforce that come with that.
So what can they learn from Korea? What are the big lessons here?
Well, I think one of the biggest is that you got to start early. Korea has been building this culture of lifelong learning since, you know, childhood.
Yeah.
With those online platforms, they're teaching kids that learning never really stops. It's not just something you do in school.
It's like they're setting them up for success from the very beginning, which makes sense, right? I mean, the world's changing so fast. You got to be able to adapt.
Exactly. And it's not just about like technical skills. It's about being able to think critically, solve problems, be flexible. Those are the skills that are going to be in demand no matter what.
So it's more than just, you know, stuffing your head with facts. It's about developing the right mindset, the ability to learn and adapt throughout your life.
Right. And another thing we see in Korea is the importance of government support. Those voucher programs, the funding for online platforms, it shows that they're serious about making lifelong learning possible for everyone.
Yeah. It's like they're saying that this isn't just an individual responsibility. It's something society needs to invest in.
Exactly. Governments have a role to play in creating the infrastructure, the support systems, the things that make it easier for people to learn throughout their lives.
We've talked a lot about how lifelong learning can help with, you know, an aging population and a changing workforce. But let's bring it back to the individual for a second. Why should our listeners care about all of this? What does it mean for them?
That's a good question. I think the takeaway here is that lifelong learning is the key to success in the future. No matter what you do, the world is changing too fast to just stand still. You got to keep learning, keep growing, keep adapting.
So it's not just about getting ahead. It's about staying relevant, staying engaged, and, you know, just continuing to grow as a person.
Right. And it's never too late to start. Whether you're thinking about switching careers or you want to try a new hobby or you just want to keep your mind sharp, there are so many resources out there.
And like we saw in Korea, investing in yourself isn't just good for you. It's good for your community. It's good for society.
It benefits everyone. When you embrace lifelong learning, you're not just making yourself better. You're making the world a little bit better, too.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Korea, we hope you're feeling inspired, ready to, you know, take charge of your own learning journey.
It's been a really interesting look at what's happening in Korea, and we hope you'll keep exploring these topics. Check out those resources we mentioned and keep the conversation going about the future of learning and work.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, everyone. And until next time, stay curious.